Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Mark Pearson. Today is part two of What's Up, Doc? But before we dive into part two here, Mark, why don't you give us a quick synopsis of what we talked about in the first What's Up, Doc podcast?
Hey, what's up, Doc? Oh, is that good enough?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Biggie, always good. It's been a little bit. So let me, for part two, let me summarize what is the meaning of What's Up, Doc? And then we're going to go to the summarization of some key points that people can tag back to part one of this podcast. What is the meaning of What's Up, Doc? It has the slang meaning of the person who is in charge of a situation. Person in charge of a situation, right? Or the person who makes the decisions. Another form of this use is you're the doctor, meaning you're the expert. It is for you to decide. Bugs is, of course, being sarcastic when he asks the hunter, "What's up, Doc?" as he easily outwits Elmer Fudd or the Wile E. Coyote.
Either or.
So, yeah. Either or, depending on what cartoon. By the way, Bugs is one of my favorites growing up.
I'm a big Wile E. Coyote fan. I think all of those cartoons are just absolutely fantastic. And
yeah, they're hilarious.
They just made me laugh.
We're showing our age, too, by the way.
I know.
That's okay.
That's all right.
So the gist was basically, you know, the whole people prognosticating, postulating, speculating about what, quote unquote, the stock market's going to do during the pandemic, and all these experts coming out and talking about how everything's going to implode. And it's funny. It's now we're recording this on July 28th, right?
Yep.
Of 2020. And they are still out there slamming the table that the economy is not doing well at all. The stock market is overvalued. And the same old yada, yada, yada we hear all the time. Here's what you have to remember, right, Matt? You don't invest in the stock market, you invest in businesses, right? And in every portfolio, on probably every given occasion, there is probably going to be some companies you own in your portfolio that are overvalued at that time. And this coincides with buy discipline and sell discipline. But to come back into the topic here, people are constantly trying to listen to the experts, gain the insights. And what I want to do here in the summarization of the first podcast for part two is talk about the top 10 things that people should remember as it pertains to What's Up, Doc, and investing. What do you think?
Well, I think that sounds great. And it's so interesting to me that even if there are parts of your portfolio that could very well be overvalued, you own a company that could be overvalued, we're in this for the long haul, right, brother? I mean, that's the whole idea. And so, you know, today, which is what everybody seems to postulate on, is today, what's going on today. But they don't understand that we're not looking at today, right? We have a much longer time horizon. So let's break down those 10 things, brother.
Yeah, before we do that, let me add on to what you're saying there, which is you're exactly right. But remember, this is an election season. Elections usually create volatility. There is still volatility around the idea of when they're going to have a COVID solution, right? But as we have amply said a million times on our podcast here, as an investor, you want volatility. You need volatility. It is what creates the opportunity to execute on your buy discipline and your sell discipline to keep you engaged in the process. Business owners don't sell their business when they think the economy is going to go back and hope to come back and buy more of it, right? Or buy it back. What they do during periods of consolidation is they adjust. They invest in new technology. They invest in different employees. They look for ways to use the phrase utilization of their capital. That is what business owners do. That is what investors should do, because investors are business owners. It is the utilization of your capital. It is sticking to the businesses you own, the processes and the buy and sell discipline, and knowing what those are and how you keep invested over time. Okay. So I thought I'd give you that. So basically what we did here, and What's Up Doc was a piece in a blog that we did. So you can go to investwithclarity.com, check out our blog. But here are 10 things, Uncle Matt, that I think investors should remember as it pertains to the quote unquote experts and the whole What's Up Doc scenario. Number one, and this is important, by the way, people don't realize this because you just nailed it. You said that people are focused on the here and now, right? The stock market is the leading indicator of the future and does not take its cues from any piece of lagging economic data. COVID data is lagging. It's already happened. It's already done. What the markets are doing, in other words, what investors are doing, people who want to be business owners are doing, and they did it a lot more in March or April, let's say, they were looking at the businesses that they wanted to own. If you're paying someone to manage your money, take a look at the activity in your portfolio and see what happened during COVID. Were they buying? Were they selling and rebuying something better? Because at this particular point now, as we do this podcast, the S&P 500 is it maybe down 1%? I know it's gotten back to even. We're pretty close to flat on the year in the S&P after being down 35% very quickly. So people are already thinking about the future earnings of the companies, okay? Number two, major drops in the market, in the stock market, always are pricing in the worst case scenario. The market always prices in worst case scenario, probably because most investors are so emotional, they throw in the baby with the bathwater, right? So it prices in the worst case scenario as they see it at the particular point in time, thus the old saying, right? So in other words, like you just said, people are looking at the here and now, and they're making the decisions based on the here and now. But you have to look at the future when you look at the value of an asset you're going to purchase. And trying to guess what you think that value is probably a fool's game.
All right, let me pause you there, because you just said a huge mouthful that I'm looking for some clarity myself. So number one, how in God's name, Mark, do they price in the worst case scenario? In my mind, if I'm pricing in the worst case scenario, I'm a bear all the time, dude, because I think right. The world's going to come to an end. How do we do that and still maintain this bullish effect?
So this is what I've always said to investors. You make money two ways. Number one, by earnings growth. Mm-hmm. Stock goes up on earnings growth in theory. And number two, the expansion of the multiple. In other words, what is the multiple to earnings that an investor is willing to pay for a business? The S&P 500 on average is about 16 times earnings, right? So if you made a dollar of earnings, they're pricing your stock at $16. Based on future earnings. That's a simplistic answer, but there's obviously other variables that go into the process. People use this argument that quote unquote, the stock market is efficient, that the stock market is basically always right. People pay what people pay. It's efficient to the extent that the market is going to always be right because that's what people are willing to pay. But that's false, because what people are willing to pay is based on future earnings. People mm-hmm. are willing to pay something in today's dollars for a value in future dollars, right? Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, quote unquote, the stock market is full of massive inefficiencies. And those inefficiencies come from the businesses that are for sale that we perceive as investors have or do not have value to them, right? So when you plan on worst case scenario, what investors are really thinking is the world's falling apart. The sky is falling. We've talked about this many times before. And that's why when I said in that second point, thus the old saying, dot, 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 the third point is the market drops like an elevator and goes up like an escalator. the markets will always generally crash and then move their way back up. Now, they may bounce around for a little while, but let's get back to the basic fact that you don't invest in the stock market, you invest in businesses. So as we talked about quite a bit during COVID, some of the decisions that we made during that period where things were down 35% was we made a conscious decision to invest in businesses that we felt were going to be winners, businesses you want to own coming out of COVID. And obviously, without talking about returns, our clients have seen a significant rebound in their portfolios because many of those businesses that are going to do well out of COVID are already beginning to do well because many people thought the same way I did. They're thinking about these businesses that are going to do well over time. The markets go up like an escalator because there's always people listening to so-called experts and trying to prognosticate, postulate, and speculate. And I still go back to the fact that most investing decisions are made behaviorally and not empirically. So you really have to be careful when you're an investor to invest behaviorally and empirically.
Yeah, and we've done some really good podcasts. Well, I mean, I'm a little partial, I know, but we've done some really good podcasts on those behavioral issues, the behavioral finance issues, the biases. So go back if you have not listened to those podcasts and make sure that you find they're actually titled biases. So go back and listen to those. Okay, I think we're on number four.
Yes.
Okay.
The stock market. So as we said earlier, it prices in future earnings, right? So the stock market looks to the future, usually 6 to 18 months out. Now, I want you to remember a stat that we've also talked about in podcasts in the past. Today, on average, stats show that the average investor holds onto a stock for 8 months. In other words, the average business owner owns the business for 8 months. When our parents were growing up, the average investor, i.e. business owner, owned their businesses for 8 years. Because of technology, because of the ability, especially now since it's quote unquote free trading, you don't pay any ticket charges at the major custodians to buy and sell stock. In the mentality of the investor, gee, it doesn't cost me anything to sell this, right? It didn't cost me anything to buy it. So I'm going to have an itchy trigger finger if I don't like something and I'm going to go buy something else. But here's the one thing I want you to think about, investors. Before you do that, if I sell X position and I go buy Y position, what is the statistical probability that I'm going to be right in making that decision? And if I'm right making that decision, what is the impact to the portfolio if I'm right? And if I'm wrong, what's the impact? In other words, what I'm saying, Matt, is every decision that is made on a buy or sell basis in your portfolio has a statistical probability. This is one of the things we're building with our AI platform that we're building, which is the conviction indicator. So the top five holdings that we currently own for our clients right now, were all the higher percentage of position in the portfolio. The conviction was an 8 to 10 on those five positions. Okay. So Square, we've talked about. Square went from 35 to 134, right? Discover went from 22 to 60. VMware went from 90 to 150. These are massive moves in great businesses over a short period of time. This is not a solicitation, go buy those stocks, please go do your own research. My point is that you have to be looking at the value of the businesses you want to own and not focus on what you think is going to happen short term, right? That was a big mouthful too, wasn't it?
That was a lot there, and I'm still unpacking, so I might have to come back to that. So keep going.
Yeah. By the way, to finish up on the stock market looks to the future is 6 to 18 months out and not the past, economic data, my friend, is mostly lagging. So in other words, investors are looking at lagging data to make the decisions for the future. That's a disconnect. I mean, that fundamentally does not make sense. Hence the reason many investors struggle. Number five, the stock market assesses the future as it best sees it and discounts it back to the present. As we call this, the search for intrinsic value. What is the intrinsic value of an asset? Now, I'm getting kind of technical today in this podcast as a, relative to other podcasts that we've done, But I think it's important to get technical occasionally to let investors know that, you know what, it's not as easy as you think it is. And you may get lucky picking a good stock. And a lot of investors get lucky picking stocks. Okay. But don't confuse luck with skill. And at the end of the day, there will be a variable, there will be an event that will alter the emotional predisposition of an investor to make a decision that could dramatically inhibit their ability to be successful. This is why, Matt, I use one of my favorite phrases, stick to the knitting, stick to the process. It is process before progress. By the way, that's the title of our quarterly.
Nice.
Well,
I want to, I do want to just not rewind too far, but one of the things that you had said, so there are people who have Nobel Prizes in economics, right? And that's where a lot of people hang their hat on this efficient marketplace that you're referring to. But the problem is economics are backward facing, right? So they're all looking at what historical things are going on. And I think you and I've said this a few times, which is past performance is not, you know, how do you finish that last sentence?
Past performance is not indicative of future performance.
Right. So people are hanging their hat on these economists that are coming out and saying, well, this is what's happened in the last 6 months. They're historians, right? They're not Karnak the Great, right? The Magnificent, sorry. But yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying that you are either, but the way that you look at this overall is so fundamentally different than an economist. That's why these 10 points we're going over today are so important for people to listen to.
Yeah, you're right. And look, I think that what investors have to understand is that while the media tries to simplify it for you, there's too many variables. It's like running a business. When you go run a business, whether you are a landscaper, you own a doc, you know, a medical clinic, you own a sales agency, you own whatever, you own an ice cream stand. There are multiple components to the success or potential failure of the business you are running in. It could be the marketplace. It could be the economy. It could be your access to capital. There are so many things that go into the decision of what you are going to own. And at the end of the day, what you're looking for is an asset allocation strategy with a buy and sell discipline to help you hopefully accomplish your investment goals long term. And I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again. The price of stocks on a daily basis very often move illogically. There's not common sense. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that sometimes, yeah, it is illogical. Sometimes it isn't common sense, but sometimes it is, which means what you're really paying for when you deal with a portfolio manager is the research, knowing what you own and why you own it. So how do you like that, Biggie?
I do. I that was actually almost poetic, Mark. That was
thanks, Biggie. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I don't know if it's just
number six.
Yeah, number six. Keep going.
Go ahead. What
well,
are you going
to
say?
I'm just paraphrasing something you said earlier. You know, there are some people who get hot, right? And you always hear about them on CNBC. You know, oh my God, this guy's up 2,000% on a penny stock or whatever, right? Yeah, you know, hey, you get up to bat enough times, at some point you're going to be lucky. That's not what you want to hire, right? Not at all.
Right.
You want to hire somebody who's actually going to be consistently doing things that make sense to you from an investing standpoint. And I think so many people don't know enough about how they should be sticking to the knitting, which is why these podcasts are so important.
Right. Agreed. Now, number one, so let's talk through that a second. So you're absolutely right, which is why it is so important that it is progress. I mean, it is process before progress. It is the process you put in place and sticking to that process. The second component of that, which we talk a lot about when we choose a company that we want to own, it's the conviction, right? And again, this is not a solicitation or recommendation, but our largest holding has been in Fuego this year, Zest Labs. And Zest Labs has a multiple reasons why it's in Fuego, but to a lot of people, it doesn't make sense. To a lot of people, it's illogical. But it's our largest holding in our client's portfolio by a long shot. And the reason is conviction. And I have had conviction for this company since the day it went public in 2016. And while the stock traded at 50 cents earlier this year, late last year, I guess last fourth quarter of last year, today it's trading at, you know, almost $4.50 a share. And a lot of people are scratching their head and they can't believe it. And the reason for that is they don't know what they own and why they own it. And the irony of this thing is that when it's all said and done, more than likely, hopefully, what's going to end up happening is this is the company I've known more than any other company in our portfolios. And the lesson that will come out of it will be sticking to the process, sticking to strategic cost averaging. And right now, it is heavily rewarding our investors for that. Let's do number seven.
Okay.
Did I do six?
Yes.
Number six. This is why we made so many changes in preparing for a new world that we undoubtedly will face. So we're talking about looking at the value from number five when the stock market assesses future, it best sees it discounts, right? Okay. Number six is this is why we made so many changes in preparing for a new world that we undoubtedly will face. Realignment is vastly different than selling at bottoms. Let me say that again. Realignment is vastly different than selling at bottoms. In other words, we sold quite a few companies we owned, not necessarily at the bottom, but they were down. And we bought other names that were down that we felt are going to have greater value coming out of it. I would challenge anyone who tunes in the podcast, look at your investment statement from the end of March until the end of June, second quarter, and look at the activity that went on in that portfolio. If you didn't see any activity, the question I would ask is, what are you paying for? Legitimately. Number two, when you look at that activity, why were those decisions made? Figure out why were those decisions made. And we, while we communicated a lot with our clients during the downturn in what we were doing in our portfolios, I don't have the exact numbers, but I want to say that we added probably 8 or 9 new companies to our portfolios and got rid of probably 6 or 7, right? And on average, we only hold 30 companies. So if you're selling 6 or 7 companies, right? I mean, you're talking about 20, 25% of your portfolio was getting realigned. That's a significant number. So you got to remember that. So and number seven, to piggyback off of six, and the realignment is vastly different than selling at bottoms. It's not about going all to cash or shorting the market, but retooling and looking for future opportunities as they are given to us, which is, of course, we're always doing that, right? But with COVID, it went so fast, we already had to have the buy list in place.
Yeah.
We already had to have the companies that we wanted to own when they had their pullback. Now, we didn't expect them to all pull back, but they did. But it gave us the opportunity to take advantage of what we think is a great value in the long-term value of a company.
Now, are you talking about number six and number seven? I'm sorry. I want you to use a potentially use a term that you have used in the past, which is proper asset allocation. Is that what six and seven are talking about?
Absolutely. The ability to sell positions and redeploy, meaning, you know, realignment versus going to cash. You can't do that if every asset acts the same in your portfolio. You have to have positions in your portfolio that act differently during different periods of time, because that's what enables you to rebalance the portfolio. That's what enables you to sell things at a high and buy things at a low. It's what allows you to create that potential alpha in your portfolio, i.e., that return above the risk that you're taking. It's mandatory. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, we've said, and that's a, you're bringing up a great point there, Matt. This is not about diversification. To me, diversification is not the same as asset allocation. Diversification is owning all the same types of assets that move directly the same. Asset allocation is owning different assets that act differently during periods of stress, i.e., the relative volatility of the assets that you own. And we're getting into the weeds, we're getting a little more technical on this call today. But I think it's important for investors to understand that it's not always just a cookie cutter simple process to, for me to say, hey, know what you own and why you own it. That's important, But there's so many other variables that go into the process of investing that it's important to understand as many variables as you can to give you the advantages you need to help you be successful.
But that's the foundation that you've built all of Nepsis on, right? Investing with clarity is, you know, knowing what you own and why you own it. What people don't see a lot of time is this amazing house that you have built on that incredible foundation.
It is. Well said.
Hey, that's why I get paid the big bucks, brother. That's why I'm here. Okay, number eight, man. Number eight.
We must remember that the stock market takes the mood of retail investors and turns it upside down 180 degrees. We must remember the stock market takes the mood of retail investors and turns it upside down 180 degrees. Let me go to nine, because the nine is and always takes the opposite opinion of individual investors who rely on emotion, faulty predictions, and financial news in making investment decisions. In other words, it's hard for people to go against the herd, but you always go against the herd. We do. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, you're just perma bulls. I don't agree with that. We're perma business owners, and we own businesses sticking to a buy discipline and a sell discipline over time to help the client accomplish the investment goals. And returns are a result of the process, and returns happen over time. This is why I'm not a fan of investors looking at their statement on a quarterly, semi-annual, annual basis, because you're not selling it anything. You're holding businesses. You want to look at the value, that's great. But don't say, gee, this was a good year, gee, this was a bad year, because it doesn't really matter. What matters is when you sell it and what the value of that asset is when you sell it, right?
It's interesting that you say, I want to just the funny thing is bull and bear pertains to markets, not companies, right? And so I wouldn't necessarily even say that you're bullish or bearish or a perma bull, because again, I love how you said that. That's you look at the value of businesses and what they're going to be able to return over the long term. All right, number 10, let's wrap this up, friend.
Yeah, real quick. Yeah. That's why strategic cost averaging is so important. Mm-hmm. That's why flexibility and transparency, two of the four keys to successful investing, are so important. You've got to be able to strategically continue and invest in your business, just like a business owner does in his business, right? All right. Lastly, and this is going to coincide with exactly what you just said, don't question the stock market, but question those who question its movements, suggesting they're in control and not Dr. Market.
What's up, Doc? That's brilliant, right? You just brought that back around, dude. That was awesome.
Welcome. Thanks, Biggie. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, as we're sitting here in late July, we love the businesses we own. Sure, they're going to be volatile. Sure, they're going to go up. Sure, they're going to go down. But when you look at the value of the businesses we own out 3, 5, 10 years, mm-hmm. I think it's time in the business, not timing the business.
And that is how you gain clarity to truly understand what you own and why you own it. And if you are meeting with a financial services professional and you ask that financial services professional, hey, Jane, what is this in my portfolio and why do I own it? First off, it's probably a mutual fund that's got 800 million other funds in it. And two, if they can't give you a good explanation on how that specific position helps you achieve your long-term plans, then I think you should probably reach out and talk to Mr. Pearson here and his team. Mark, why don't you go ahead and share everybody with your phone number so if they want to talk to you, they can.
They can get us at www.investwithclarity.com or our office, 952-746-2003. We're all over the place in media. Go to investwithclarity.com. Easy to find us.
Yeah, or just type into the Google search, Invest with Clarity, and they have the whole freaking first page. Mark, thank you very much for your thought leadership today. It was fun to go through these 10 points.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time we come out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And if you know somebody who has no idea what they own and why they own it, you should probably refer them to this podcast and in turn, refer them to the Invest with Clarity website. So for everybody at Nepsis, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.